Welcome back to another episode of Self Care and Chill with Maui, everybody's favorite relationship podcast. And today I'm so excited because we have a special guest. We have Agent McQueen here all the way from St. Louis. Yeah, yeah. And I'm so excited to have you.
Glad to be here.
So let them know a little bit about yourself, because I'm going to ask questions. But to anybody that's listening, because like we will drop the audio, I want you to let them know who you are.
Agent McQueen. I don't know. I'm a sojourner. You know, that's why I consider myself. I got Soul Rebel tatted on my neck, but I'm a sojourner. You know what okay. I mean? Like I like to just, I'm just a person that's experiencing this life. You know what I mean? Because there's so many different things I could say. It's so many labels, but right. I've really been working on my state of being.
Okay.
So I'm just AJ McQueen.
And he's enjoying his human experience.
I am.
For the
Boom.
First time.
Yeah, first time.
Okay.
First time, and it's been an experience, to say the least, so, you know what I mean?
Well, so I've been following you for a while, so I'm really already tapped in, but to the people that don't know, like, about the God Body Energy or the Free Food Program, I want you to tell them a little bit about that, because sometimes when I'm on your page, I'm like, this is really dope.
Thank
like,
you.
A lot of the stuff that you, I feel like everything that you do, everything that you come out with is very intentional.
Thank
like,
you.
I don't even think I ever seen you post a meme, like, something funny. Do AJ laugh? So I want you. I want you to share with them a little bit about what that represents.
Yeah. Well, I mean, starting with, like I say, I'm a writer, so everything that I do, it comes from a place of like just thoughts and me expressing myself. So when you speak of like God Body Energy or Free Food Program or different ways that I different channels that I use, you know what I mean, to just. I don't know, just to put my vision out there, put my goals and different things that I want to do. It looks like that. I in my 20s, I ain't going to say how old I am now, but in my 20s, you know what I'm saying? I spent a lot of time as an activist. You know, I was an activist, a community organizer. You know, I was out there protesting, marching.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I was raised in that. You know, my grandmother and my uncle, and I was just raised around a lot of the elders, you know what I mean, that spoke a lot about our struggle,
right,
you know, as a people and what we go through. So as I grew up, as I evolved, I never grew away from, you know, those type of things. So that's why it looks like organizing, uniformity,
right,
and all those things,
because it's already like you already are used to this type of environment.
Oh, it's embedded in me though,
right?
You know what I mean, like it's and when I go back in retrospect, like from talking to my mom or just my sisters, they tell me that I've always been like that, you know.
Okay.
even in my youth. So like, so I express my and I've always been an expressionist, you know what I mean, an expressionist person. So I think somebody had asked me earlier, it was like, how long have you been doing music? And I was like, man, well, I can't think about the music part, but the writing part, I've been writing my whole life.
Right.
You know what I mean? So writing my thoughts, writing goals, vision, even if it didn't make sense to nobody else,
right,
it made sense to me. And now those writings, those visions, I'm living it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying now? So, you know, and I'm a serial creator. You know?
Okay.
So I create, and again, I create from a holistic level. So that's why you see the curation of things like say God Body Weekend, Free Food Program. I have a nonprofit organization called Writer's Block.
Okay.
Performing Arts and Literacy. Been doing that.
Is that when you like you get together like and perform?
Yeah, yeah. So that's my nonprofit.
Okay.
So I created that and been doing that for over 10 years. You know what I mean? Creating spaces for the community to express.
You're not new
yourself.
To this, you're true to this.
You hear me? So I've been doing it, and now that's my foundation, right?
Okay.
So, and I've been an author. I wrote my first book when I was 23. Been awarded the White House Servant Achievement Award when I was 24. And all those things, the community part I told you.
Right.
Now, like 2 years ago, I said, okay, all right, let's get to the music.
You
know what I mean? And so now I'm focused 100% on the music.
Like, I think that what's so admirable about what you do is the consistency. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like even though it's like art, like when you write, it's art. Like, and if you do something that you love, then you never got to work a day in
right.
your life. But just off the consistency alone, can't nobody outwork you. Because when I
say,
AJ going to be on my timeline every day. And it's going to be quality.
Thank
it's
going
to be, he's going to be on my timeline every day, and I'm going to fuck with it.
Thank you.
Like,
I appreciate
like,
that.
Dang, I like
appreciate
this song.
It. I appreciate that. That's me. Like I said, that's, it's if you see the output of, imagine the
right
when it happens up here, that's happening like every millisecond,
right?
You know what I mean? So, and I believe in that. You know, before I had a team, I did every job that I asked anybody to do, I've done it myself.
You right.
know, I've been a videographer, I've been an editor, I've been a photographer, I've been, I used to, my first camera was a flip shot camera,
okay.
And it was the little one that had a USB drive on it. Mm-hmm. and I used to record myself. Then I used to go out and I used to just random people hold this for me real quick.
Right.
And it's before blog, it's before Instagram. It's before that. I didn't even know this was. Right. I didn't know that I was creating it for myself. But right. Now I can go on YouTube anytime and look and pull up a video when I was 17.
How did that make you feel? Because I know, like, before, like, I got videos from, like, 2013 when I thought, like, I was meant to be a rapper, right? It make me cringe. Like, looking at some old videos of myself, do you admire how much you came or do you respect where you was there?
A little bit of both, you know what I mean? Like, one thing I can always say, and I think Jafar is, like, I've always been confident.
Okay.
Always, you know what I mean? I could have, you know, two pennies and a nickel in my pocket, but I never like, even to this day, I don't think people know how much money I got, because I don't my confidence level never changes.
Right.
And it's always been like that in sports and growing up in the hood, fighting, losing some relationships, whatever. My confidence never changes, you know
right.
what I mean? And I think that's a gift, because as a leader, as a prophet, you know what I mean? Your word, the confidence in your words have to still be there. You
right.
know what I'm saying? Even if you barely believe it, even if you're doubting it yourself.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so I think that's why I've always been a person that God uses to speak to the people, whether it be through music, through writing, through protests and rallying.
Right.
You know, Mike Brown, you know, got killed like around the corner from my crib in St. Louis. You know what I mean? I'm not saying I was there physically, but I'm from the area. I'm from all of this. I marched for Trayvon. I marched for Sandra
right.
Bland. I created rallies for, you know what I'm saying, Tamir Rice and all that. So being able to look at that in that way and see it evolve into, like I said, God Body or Writer's Block or my music being liberation music. You
right.
know what I mean? Soul music.
That's a good word.
Yeah.
It is liberating.
Thank you.
And even like what you said, like with the confidence for me, like I had to find my voice. Like I definitely feel like one of the therapy sessions that you got on, sorry, Ma, I was distracted. You say, they ask you, like, how do you view yourself looking in the mirror? And you say, like, you see the little boy holding the man's hand.
Yeah.
And I feel like, because I feel like me personally, like as a child, I was silent so much, it was hard for me to find that voice.
Yeah.
And me feel like the voice had meaning.
Mm-hmm.
So to already feel like you had the confidence, when I listen to music, like writer to writer, I'm sure a lot of other people, they do feel liberated, especially with the fact that, like, you're so comfortable being vulnerable. Like,
yeah.
that's one of the strongest things that you could do.
Yeah.
I'm listening to the songs, AJ done had roaches. Me too, AJ.
Rats and roaches.
I'm listening to one of the
yep.
songs today.
Yep.
And I'm like, AJ done had
don't
roaches.
Don't mind saying it, you know what I mean?
Right.
Don't mind.
And then sometimes when we're going through certain things, we feel like we're the only person going through it.
Yeah.
So when you hear songs like that and it resonate, or like I've been through that too, I definitely feel like you allowed a space for us to connect with you on a different level, even if we don't know you personally.
Yeah.
Like, even if a person ain't got AJ number, could DM AJ.
Yeah.
I know AJ.
Yeah.
Like, because you put us so much into your life and allow yourself to be so vulnerable. And I love that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I remember the first, I had a relationship years ago, and I made a song. It's on YouTube now. I ain't gonna say it out loud because
okay.
I want people to look it up. But it was about my ex, like an old relationship when I was like 17, 18. And at that time, that relationship impacted me. It meant a lot to me. You know what I'm saying? Weighed heavy on me. So I wrote about it and I recorded to it, you know, to a beat. I think I stole like a Drake's beat or something. I ain't said it, but you know what I mean? I remixed a Drake beat
right.
or something. And it's on YouTube. And when I look back in retrospect, I've always been transparent. Like, I've always been a person that's not afraid to tell his truth. Now, I'm not saying everybody has agreed with my truth.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But it's still your
throughout
truth.
My journey, you know, especially with this album, Sorry Mom, I Was Distracted. You know, me and my mother had conversations like, why? Like, you know, and then, you know, sometimes people try to tell you how to feel, but I think it's important that on our journeys that we realize that, we always trying to free other people and forgive other people, you know what I'm saying? And we suppress the way we feel and our experience and our lens and how it impacted us.
Right.
But there's liberation in that when you get to a place where you say, well, hey, this is how I feel. This is how it made me feel.
Right.
You know what I mean? And when you're speaking for yourself, you find yourself speaking for those that can't speak for themselves.
Right. And I think that's what's so important, because you said that, like, even like with you do talk about your mom a lot on the album. A lot of people silence themselves to protect somebody else that hurt them. Like, you could have been like, you know what, like, I don't want to put my mom's business out there. I don't.
Yeah.
Like, there's been times where, like, when I dropped my first book, my mom was like, this is a whole lot. But no, it's not. This was my experience.
Yeah. Like,
but it was so many times where I thought about not dropping it because I don't want to hurt my mom's feelings.
Yeah.
But this was my experience. And I deserve to say, like, you know what, this is what happened to me.
I remember when I was on 106 in Park, BT, and they did a teen violence special on me. And one of the first things I said in the interview with Terrence Roxy, I was like, you know, I said my dad wasn't, you know, my dad wasn't around. And I mean, my dad saw, you know, he cried, you know what I'm saying? And God rest his soul now. But at that time, and we had a powerful conversation, and he was like, you know, I was there. And I was like, well, I, not to me.
Right.
To me, you were not, you know what I mean? And then I grew up, and I became a man, and I realized I'm able to see how he felt, because now I'm a man, and I see, you know, why he could say that. But then also, I'm still able to speak my truth. And I've always, again, not that everybody has agreed in my journey, but one thing that people respect about me is I'm going to liberate myself. I'm going to emancipate myself.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to free myself.
Right.
And inadvertently, we freeing other people. You know what I mean? Who share the same sentiments, who has the same bondage, and who is looking for liberation himself.
So I feel like writing in general, it's been a lot of healing for you.
Oh yeah, that writing is my. If I didn't have writing, Maui, I'd probably be I don't know. You know what I'm saying, hooked on a drug or something. You know what I mean? Like have some type of vice that would prevent me from being able to live the way I live. Honestly,
right. Like, and what do that mean to you? Like coming from, you got I forgot what's the neighborhood that you are
Wilson,
from.
Wilson. I'm from Wilson.
Okay,
yeah.
Coming from Wilson and like the circumstances, what do it feel like to you to be living the life that you're living right now? Because you could have been on drugs. And people would have felt like, I mean, look where you've come from. Rightfully so. It makes sense.
I think that, well, let me say this. Though my drug may not have been, you know what I'm saying, something, a outward vice that a lot of people could see, you know what I'm saying, alcohol, mm-hmm. weed, you know what I'm saying, heroin, different things that I've seen in my upbringing. My drug of choice was love.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I definitely had a drug. So I want to say that and be honest. You know what I mean? And I didn't realize that until therapy.
Right.
You know what I mean? That love was my drug for a long time. You know what I mean? So I don't want to come off like I didn't have any vices. You know what I mean? Like I would be, my leadership, it wouldn't be authentic if I did that. So my drug of choice was love. You know what I mean?
Wanting to receive it or just give it?
Both. You know what I mean? And again, it showed up in different ways in my life as well. But going through and having that type of vice versus seeing the other ones growing up in Wilson, it's different because, you know, outside my front door, prostitution, drugs, gangs, and whatever, you know what I mean? And, you know, I had my experience with gangs, you know, young age, you know, that's what led to me getting shot and things like that. But, you know, through my childhood, teenage, adulthood, love. You know what I'm saying? Love.
And you take that, you go to therapy, and you find the root of it is your mom.
My mom the whole time. The whole time. Like, and I never would have thought that. You know what I'm saying? Like, without doing the inner work and the root work and therapy, it's easy though, man. It's my daddy's fault. Man, it's because of this. Man, it's because I grew up in the hood. Man, it's because of this. The whole time. I'm the woman I'm talking to every day, you know what I'm saying? And I love my mom. We have a great relationship, man. But that's the truth. The truth of it is, you know, it's the lack of love, the lack of nurturing.
Right.
You know what I mean? It became a drug of mine because as I got older, as soon as I could make decisions of my own, which after I got shot, I got sent away at 15. So living with multiple families and all those things, I made it a quest.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, okay, I'm gonna be great at this love thing, not realizing that I'm idolizing it low-key.
Right.
You know what I mean? So my relationship history looked wacky as hell. You know what I mean? It looked like me getting married at 19 and divorced at 21.
Right.
It looked like me getting engaged again at 24.
Just looking for the love.
It looked like me getting engaged again at 27.
Damn, AJ.
I know. I know. It looked, that's what it looked like, right? And it looked like me raising kids that ain't mine. Mm-hmm. It looked like me wanting that, craving it so much. Mm-hmm. It looked like me not choosing myself or suppressing myself and then creating demons, because suppressing makes demons.
Right.
Anything that's compressed and dark, maggots grow out of that.
Right. And you said, like, you can't suppress something. Eventually, it's going to come out.
Right. And I didn't, so I wasn't liberated. And why, and the crazy thing is I'm out there trying to liberate everybody else.
Right.
I'm out there for the people, I'm a voice for the people. I'm emancipating everybody else but myself. And I never knew. You know what I mean? Like I didn't look at it that way.
Like what was the spark? What do you feel like was the spark that went off for you? Like I gotta free myself. We three engagements in. Goddamn. Like when is like
You know, in all honesty, it wasn't until fairly recent though, you know, if I'm honest. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't until a love that I you know, I felt was transformative.
Okay.
That love then mirroring me back to me. It wasn't until that. It would be easy for me to say, yeah, I just, you know. No, I had an awakening probably like not too long ago, for sure, you know what I mean? And it broke me down, you know what I'm saying, as a man. And I didn't even realize. So then it took me on a journey, and that's why the album sounds like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? It took me on a whole journey, and I'm like, oh. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't even realize. I had somebody put on to me that was like, you know, you've been wearing black for years. Maui, I didn't wear color for years. I knew it, but I didn't know how it looked. You know what right. I mean? Like, and the thing about being in yourself, which is a good thing, but also could be a hazardous thing, because you don't know how you don't know how heavy you are. You don't know how heavy you can be, right?
Right.
I'll give you an example. Like, you know, a person going to the gym, a person that's dealing with weight issues.
Right.
You don't know how much you weigh.
Right.
You don't know how big you are. You don't know how small you are. You don't know until something, you need a scale, you need something. Now, you probably walk around here 400 pounds, but you don't feel it the way everybody will see it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you just walking. You walking.
I ain't that big.
Right. But then you realize until you get into small spaces or you get into things, you try to squeeze through something or you, it's something that happens.
Right.
But then there's a period of time where you went and didn't realize it. You didn't even realize how you were showing up.
Like, how did I even get this smaller, this big? Like, how did I even get here?
Lack of self-awareness. Knowledge of self is gone.
Right.
You know, you run from mirrors, you know what I mean? Running from reflective moments, you know what I mean? And then God is the biggest mirror of all time. So especially if you ain't spending time with God, you're not seeing you for real. So I can honestly say, as a man, I ran from those moments of reflecting and really being in myself and all those type of things. But not an excuse, but I'm running to something.
Right.
See,
in retrospect, you ran to yourself.
Right. So you're running. Yeah, like, it's all running. You know what I'm saying? But when you're running from something, you're running to something else.
Right.
You know what I mean? So while running to goals, you know what I mean? Financial freedom and you know all the things that the world tells us to show up.
Right.
Black man, show up. Show up. You need to be here this day, this time. Show up. Show up. Okay, I'm running, but I'm also running from something.
Right.
You know what I mean? And not a lot of us men are encouraged to stop running, you know what I'm saying, and sit down and deal with thyself.
Right.
So I've recently, and I say recent because, you know, I can get on here and act like I got ultimate poise and ultimate knowledge. I don't, you know what I'm saying? But I have had an awakening within myself, and it's hit me like, it's hit me in a transformative way. You know what I mean? And that's why I believe my life is shaping. It has been shaping the way
right.
it's been since then.
Because it's beautiful watching your journey. From like even me watching it from afar, it's a beautiful thing to watch. The people that is finally tapping in, the people that support you, you having these things, and people that come out and show up for you. It's a beautiful watch.
It's been God. Thank you. It's been God. It's been God. I think God is like, okay, I can trust you now.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like
before, you might have fumbled it.
I definitely would have fumbled it.
I can trust you with it now.
Yeah, you know, pride, ego, you know what I mean? I would have fumbled it. But like I say, I think I speak for a lot of us men that, and I specifically say men on this part because the lack of, you know what I'm saying, as we navigate this masculine journey, this vulnerable journey, this, you know, a lot of us experience lovelessness, and that lovelessness creates, it shapes the way we see love in general. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But it's really just like a self-love. I didn't love myself.
Right. And it was reflective to the decisions.
To everything else. Right. So now when I'm able to sit down and love myself and accept everything I see, everything as is, because a lot of us cannot accept right. as is. A lot of us ain't sat down long enough.
Right.
You know what I mean? I recall whenever I had an emotion as a child, my mama said, "You better fix it."
Right?
Like I'm literally, that was how she, like, you better fix it. I can't even process how the hell I feel.
Right. I got a feelings pillow upstairs if you want.
A feelings pillow, crazy.
Yeah, you just.
You better fix it.
Because some of us don't get awarded the opportunity to tap into what am I feeling.
Yeah, you and keep telling a man that for 20 years.
Right.
All right, I'm going to fix it. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to fix it. Yeah, and that's all I've been doing. I've been fixing it. But my fixing looks like duct tape.
Right.
Gorilla glue. You know what I mean?
Temporary fix.
All that. It's fixed. You said fix it.
Right.
I heard you, woman. I heard you, black woman. You said fix. So then that fix it goes to every relationship. You better fix it.
Right.
Okay, I'll suppress it. You better fix it. Okay, I'll lie about it. You better fix it. Okay, I'm a rob Peter to pay Paul. I'm a lie about. You know what I mean? Knowing that ain't how you're supposed to fix
right.
it. But what other way do I fix it, especially to get your approval? That's like a self love though. So it's not even me shifting it. Like even my mom's like. Forgave my mama. Like, my mama experienced lovelessness too, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of us don't realize as we are growing, our parents are growing too.
Right.
This their first life too. So right. I'm not one of the people that just like a trauma dump on even the parents, but that's my reality.
Right.
And I think that through my music, through my writing, I know I speak a lot to, again, the black people in general. And I also try to navigate and let it be known that I am navigating this black male experience.
Right.
You know what I mean? As well, as I speak to the black woman from a black male perspective, you know what I mean? A lot of my writing, I'm speaking as a black man to a black woman. I'm not necessarily trying to make music for women. Like, no, I'm definitely talking and as a black
right.
man.
You know, we know who you're talking to, AJ. So one thing I will say is, like, for you to be really direct, because I love me a black man. That's just, like,
talk
that's about, like, you see what I'm saying? I yeah. love me a black man. I love that you talk about, not wanting to just fix it no more, because sometimes I feel like we got so many angry black men because the only emotion that you tapped in with is anger, because you don't get spaces for you to feel sadness, for you to grieve. And like I tell some of my friends all the time, for you to be able to look at your high school picture and half of those people are dead or in jail, that's not normal. Like a lot of our black men are walking around with so much trauma, so much PTSD, and they're not in tune. There's no reason why me stepping on your shoes should make you want to shoot me. That fast? You angry at that?
Yeah.
You can buy another sneaker. But like, what other emotions are they learned, taught to tap into besides anger and ego?
Anger, ego, pride.
Right.
And you know, but like I say, a lot of us are now just now getting to that space. You know what I mean? And I definitely give you know, praise to the Most High and praise to a lot of, you know, the black women out there that are encouraging us to go on this journey.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, I know this is a space that you operate in as well. I'll be seeing your lot, you know
Sunday
what I'm saying?
Sunday at 4 o'clock, you girls in therapy, okay?
So, you know what I'm saying? Flowers to you and flowers to every other black woman that encourages us to
right.
sit down and to reflect and don't look at it as, and you know, and you got that part. You also got the negative sides of it all, right? You got the women and the society that looks at us having this experience, black man, as us not being our masculine self and sassy this
right.
and all type of stuff. But yeah, and there's nothing I even pay attention to.
Right.
You know what I mean? But for the men that do, you know, I even speak for those too, and just encourage us to, you know, love ourselves, love on ourselves, and choose ourselves in spite of.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because this world wicked. You know what I mean? And I don't think that, well, not that I don't think, I know that what the world is afraid of, what the universe is afraid of is a man that knows himself and that loves himself. Because everything else, his legacy is contingent. It all hangs on his self-love, his discipline. You know what I'm saying? And every man's going to choose between two pains anyways, as an unknown author said, the pain of regret or the pain of discipline.
Right.
So you got to choose a pain.
I think that a lot of even, like, piggybacking off what you said, like, with the whole sassy thing and the women don't even realize what they really are looking for is a man that love himself.
That's
what you're looking for.
That
value something.
Man, my mama, I remember we used to, me and my sister used to watch wrestling. And my mama loved a rock. I don't know what she loved a rock so much. She, ooh, that man is so fine. That man, you hear me? And I'm young, I'm like 7. I'm like, oh, okay. I started doing push-ups. I made a belt. I made a wrestling belt out of a using a belt, and I cut a hole in cardboard, and I put the hole in. I was a wrestler.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That was the first thing that I saw my mama say, I love it. You know what I mean? And then a man starts to go and do the things that, okay, you, that's what you like. Mm-hmm. So then it goes outside of that to where I'm working out, I'm doing these things. And now I'm outside of my mom with this example, by the way. But as when we look at women and what we see women like, all the things, if it's money, okay, let me get my money up. Mm-hmm. Fitness, let me get my fitness up. Let me do these things. But then we're judged off of the very thing. I literally saw you drool. I saw you say that that's what you love. We need the space to do that. Do right. The things that you say you love. And if we're not given that space, then it's going to look chaotic. And we're going to show up to you because we love y'all too, but we're going to show up in a very chaotic way.
Right.
You know what I mean? It is not healthy for neither one of us. You know what I mean? I'm reading this book right now by Bell Hooks, All About Love.
Okay, we got that on the bookshelf.
That book crazy.
It's so good.
I ain't going to lie. The book is wrecking my life.
It's so good.
And it's what specifically wrecking my life is, and wrecking my life in a great way. But, you know, in order to reconstruct, you got to deconstruct. So I've been deconstructing as a man, you know. Mm-hmm. And it says that, she was referring to Enbridge Form's definition of love. And she said that his definition was to nurture one's spiritual growth. Mm-hmm. And using that definition. And if a lot of us use that definition, if we come to a collective decision and just use one definition to nurture one's spiritual growth, and you ask yourself, have you ever loved somebody? Have you ever been loved?
Right.
And when I did that, it pushed back everything, and I'm like,
right. It make you feel like, damn, like am I even adding value to somebody's life? One thing that she say in the book is people who love you would never intentionally hurt you.
Yeah.
And then I had to sit with that. Like every relationship, getting cheated on, getting lied on. Like I had to. It might have been a good experience for what it was, but you didn't love me.
Yeah.
Like, I can never intentionally just hurt my kid. Like, you see what I'm saying? I love you too much to intentionally. There might be times where, like, oh, my bad. Like, I didn't mean to do that. But to intentionally go out of my way and make a decision that I know is going to hurt you, there's no way I could love you.
Yeah.
And for me to sit with that and realize, like, wow, I don't think I've ever been loved until now.
That was my experience when I read it. Because I wrote a song on my album called Love Jones, and where I talked about I talked about my two loves in my life. You know what I mean? My first love and my last love to date. And I wrote about just all that, you know what I'm saying? And when I read the book, it took me back to those loves. And you know, it made me really sit down with myself and say, okay, if using this definition of nurturing one's spiritual growth, mm-hmm. have you ever loved? Have you ever been loved? And that's something I'm meditating on even now. I'm not going to get on here and say what I figured out because I don't know yet. You know what I'm saying? But I just wanted to be stated, you know what I'm saying? A lot of us men out here doing that type of root work. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not only reading a book. I saw one of my brethren, KC, reading the book in the hotel yesterday too. Like, we're doing root work out here. There's a different fabric of man out here, you know what I'm saying? And we're trying to figure this shit out, you know what I mean? Like, we come from where we come from. We were given what we were given, and we're doing the work, and we appreciate the encouragement and support on this journey to figure it out.
Right.
You know what I mean? A lot of us are disciplining ourselves. A lot of us are controlling our mind. A lot of us are controlling our dicks. A lot of us controlling what we say, and we practicing those things, you know what I mean? But it's not easy. I'm not finna sit here.
Right.
And talk with this puffed up chest right. Like it's easy. It's
but your discipline is a high level form of self love.
It is the highest form. Right. It's the highest.
A man
form.
That can turn down something that can say no. That's the type of man a lot of women like.
And Lord Jesus.
Listen, and it's harder than them.
This more.
They throwing.
You heard me, like, but it's right. But I know that I need this season of my life. You know what I mean? Because I don't want to repeat anything. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to repeat cycles. And I owe it to myself. And I owe it to my future kids, my future wife, what have you. Because I believe in love. Like, I do. I value it. I value the idea of it. You know what I'm saying? It's something I think I'd be great at. You know what I mean? Fatherhood and all those things. But I know that I have never done what I'm doing now.
Right.
And that's to discipline myself.
Can you imagine the type of love that you will experience with this version that you become in? All the times that you thought, like, yeah, I love that girl. I've been engaged 3 times. Like, I know, like, I got a peek of what love is. Can you imagine the type of experience that you're going to have with all the stuff that you're doing right now with yourself?
Man,
AJ the dad.
I know.
We got God Body Daycare.
You hear me? God Body Daycare. All that. I mean, it's something that I've I've written about, you know what I'm saying? You know, I got a journal, you heard me? Like,
okay,
you know,
it's
some,
love it.
Yeah, I got a journal. Some, you know, what's crazy is a lot of my songs on my album started off as journal entries.
Okay.
It just started off as a journal entry.
And then it just turned into a full-blown song?
Yeah, same was a journal entry.
I feel like that's probably what make it feel so organic.
Yeah, it started off as my inner thoughts. Because I write crazy. I talk about everything.
Right. We know. Anybody that's listening, you're putting all your business out there.
I put all my business out there. And I, you know, like I said, it's you know, a lot of people don't like it. I've been asked to stop. You know what I mean? But what they say, you fall in love with a poet, be prepared to be a part of my writing forever.
Just listen. It's the truth.
So, it's
how the game go.
Don't fall in love with me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's
but no, but it's not in a distasteful way. I hope that the world sees that. I've never, you know, I don't put people, like, I talk about myself. I'm not out here exposing this, that.
It's
I'm
not bashful.
Talking. Never. That's not my heart. You know what
right.
I'm saying? Like, it's not my heart. I don't write it to, you know, I try to actually protect, you know what I mean, the best way I can with my art. But I also got to be authentic and honest. So I balance that, and I let God, you know, notarize everything I write. So
you always got a gem to drop.
You hear me? Yeah, hey, don't get me started.
One thing I want to ask you is, like, what you said, like, it's a lot of black men that's out here that's doing the work, and people that listen to the podcast, they know, like, I'm always talking about black men and their mental health and, like, them having safe spaces. How can black women support you on the type of journey that you're on? Not even just you specifically, but if they got to, like, I know I go to therapy, so does my man. He journaled, like, he really tapped in. And I know one, for me personally, I feel like love is freedom. And a part of me loving him is him exploring whatever type of healing and journey he needs to go through right now. And just being supportive.
Yeah.
And not feeling like I need to be next to you all the time. Because some stuff is only for you to, it's only for you. And I don't need to be hands-on in all your healing and your journey. What are you journaling about? What did you talk about in therapy? How can we show up and be giving you the space to grow and to feel what you need to feel and for you to be your best self? Because I know a lot of black women, they tired.
Yeah.
They exhausted.
Yeah.
So how can we be supportive? And how can we feel like, you know what? My man, he's trying.
Yeah. That's a great question. By the way, a lot of us get asked that a lot. So thank you for asking. Grace. You know what I'm saying? Like, grace. Like, you know, I'm 34 years old. You know what I mean? I just got hurt. You know what I mean? So with all this stuff I'm saying,
you just got off the porch.
You hear me? With everything that people think of me, I just got hurt. You know what I mean? And if I could ask for anything, it would be the grace to learn how to learn how to talk over, learn how to approach things differently. You know what I'm saying? And as you said, love is freedom. You know, and love is liberation. You know, as well. And I think that the faculties that our black women have is something that we don't have.
Right.
We can get into some stuff. We can get into grace and patience and nurturing, but that's not our nature. You know, for a lot of men, that's secondary to us. You know what I mean? And a lot of us have had to do that for ourselves too. Same way women have had to, you know, right? But being this question is directed to me as a man, you know, a lot of us, it's not, it's secondary to us. You know what I mean? So a woman that gives me grace, a woman that really just understanding, like, I think that's one thing I look forward to in love is actually understanding, because I'm a complex fraction. I'm not complicated.
Okay.
But I am complex. I got a Rubik's Cube tatted on my arm.
Okay.
Cause I'm one of them.
Okay.
But any woman that'll do that and get in, boy.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's that, and for a lot of men it's that, because our worlds haven't been of our choosing in a lot of cases. You
right.
know what I'm saying? And I know a lot of men out there that take penitentiary chances, that go out there and do something they know they shouldn't be doing because they feel like this is something that their woman will make their woman happy. And not saying it's their woman's fault, but I'm just saying it's a lot of men that do things for the approval right. of women, and it does stem back to our mother, you know what I mean? And a lot of us are just now figuring out. A lot of us just learned about emotional equity.
Right.
I know I did.
Right.
You hear me? Like, I ain't always knew, okay, emotional real estate. You know what
right.
I mean? Emotional maturity and emotional intelligence. I just got hip to that 2 years ago.
Right.
You hear me? While you have probably have always had, some women, not all, right?
Right.
Always had the space to sit with your feelings, whether it be crying or a time of the month, or, you know, you can birth a child that's going to love you forever, or, You know what I mean? Somebody gives you the space to be a woman. Manhood is a little different. Yeah. So it's just that space, you know what I mean? And the last thing I'll say to that is, man, a woman that can speak life. Oh my God. Listen, I don't care if the man, it don't seem like he listening. Every word that you say is planting, it's gone. I'm still living off of prayers of a black woman. I'm still, there's words that a woman said to me years ago that I'm just now seeing.
Right.
You know what I mean? So the words that y'all say, but also equally that could be the thing that hurts us the most though.
Right.
You know what I'm
Sometimes
saying?
Sometimes you need to hear it.
Right. But the words that y'all say, the affirmation is nothing more powerful than that in prayer. Like those things, grace, it's God attributes, you know what I mean? That's given from y'all, you know what I mean? I think that that's what we could have in this time. Nobody's asking a woman to do the work for us, though. Right. We got to do the work, and we know that, you know what I'm saying? Like, we know it.
Right.
It can't put it off on nobody else. But as we're doing the work, just those things. And I think that, I think y'all will be proud of us on the other end, so.
I definitely feel like any woman that's listening right now, it might make them think about the type of, they might be in a relationship with somebody that is not ready to do the work. That don't mean that they never going to do it, but this person may not be ready.
Yeah.
But if you got a partner and they is ready or you see them trying, I feel like everything that you said is so important for us to be able to support you on the journey.
Women say all the time, I got messages like, man, I love your writing. I love how you talk about this, and that, and that, and that. And, you know, I don't get a chance to respond to everybody, but when I do, it sounds like, you know, I just got her love. So just imagine if the people or the times that, you know, a woman has given up on me. I'm not saying she haven't had her reasons. I'm not one of them. I probably deserved it.
Okay.
But
accountability.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I wasn't always my best self or the best version of myself at the time. You know what I mean? So, but imagine that. So now you see me, you're like, man, this is amazing, man. Well, I've been in this amazing man has been in me. It's been dormant for so long. And there's a lot of men, whether it be your mate, whether it be your brethren, whether it be your dad, your uncle, somebody has the a divine king inside of them. So, you know what I mean? If you like what I'm saying, go be patient with your one, you know what I mean? Be encouraging to your one, you know what I mean? And hold them accountable. I say to my brethren all the time, you know, any woman that holds you accountable is a woman that deserves to be held on to. Because accountability, a woman that holds you accountable, that's a different type of, it's a different type of love.
Right.
You know what I mean? Sometimes it may look like her not talking to your ass no more either.
Right.
But.
Might look like her choosing herself.
Yeah, but it's a type of love. And it's a love that I've experienced, you know what I mean? And that's what helped in my awakening, though.
Right. It's been times where I feel like one of the best things that I could have done was hold somebody accountable. You're not showing up as your best self, and I know you could be better than this.
Yeah.
And just because you're not ready don't mean I gotta stay here and experience less than.
Yeah, and that's the truth. And like I said, it's also the way a woman talks to a man as well. Mm. Because I know me, I got four sisters.
Mm.
I had two stepbrothers, they both got murdered when I was younger, so I didn't grow up with any men. So other than my dad, you know what I'm saying, when he was able to be in my life. But I had sisters, so the words of my, you know, my first vulnerable moments were exposed by my sisters. So
right.
I've had the, you know what I mean? I'll never forget, first time I peed in the bed, and my sister saw it, and I'm like, and I'm flipping the mattress off. She's like, I ain't gonna tell nobody. The first time she got upset, you pissy ass. I'm like, yo, why would you even say that, right?
Right.
But imagine that being your first vulnerable moment, then you're growing through life, and now the vulnerability. Like, and I know that's a funny moment, but literally that was my first time being like.
Did that make you feel like I can't be vulnerable? I'll throw it back in my face.
Yeah, like, come on. You know what I mean? And then when it was brought up in a joke, in an exposing way. And like I say, for some people that may be like, man, that's what you talking about.
I probably felt embarrassed.
Okay, well, if you trace a man's, if we all talk about root work, it's so trendy now, by the way. Root work, shadow work. Okay, well, that looks like...
Get your shadow journal.
Right. All this shadow. All right. Well, if you go, we're doing root work looks like going to the first time of something.
Mm-hmm.
It goes to the smallest molecule of something. The smallest for me, because I dealt with, I've always had a hard time being vulnerable at times. Like, I know it's not obvious, you know what I mean? But I've had that. You know, I would look my woman in the face and not say nothing about what I'm really feeling, right? And they'd be like, why would you do that?
Right.
Well.
Or why are you saying it when you mad? Where is this coming from?
Right. Well, you know what I'm saying? And so for a lot of us, we did not have the space for that. But again, we are, and I say we because I speak for a lot of men that are on that journey. You know what I'm saying? And we draw the distinction between the niggas that ain't shit. Mm-hmm. You know, so hopefully I can say niggas and shit on her.
I'll be cursing on here.
Oh, okay, yeah. So we drew a distinction between the niggas that ain't shit that need to become shit.
Okay.
Right? Cause, you know, but then there's a different man out here that's literally focusing on their deen. You know what I'm saying? Deen and Islam being your discipline and your practice. So we on our deen out here. So that's a difference. We don't want to be grouped up with them niggas.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So let me just say that. You know what I'm saying? Like, hold on.
Ungroup them. Ungroup
niggas ain't shit. Well,
ungroup me.
I'm niggas. You know, so right. I just want to know that you see me, though.
Right.
I just want to know that you see the difference. Do you see the difference? Okay, cool. We good. But if I'm all grouped up in the same thing, then I think that you're going to have a hard time seeing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That and it's unfortunate that when we scroll through our timelines that the sacredness of love and relationships and journey and vulnerability is now marketed for clicks and comments and likes and insights. You know what I mean?
I know everything that he did for you this week because everything is content for you. Like, yeah. As far as like.
Yeah, no. I'm not a fan of it.
Right. Everything is a click. Everything is a like.
Yeah. So it's scary out here. Right. Be real. You know what I mean? So I tell my brethren, I say, man, look. Find a woman. When you find, as you find yourself, as you find God, you find yourself. Find you a woman, in that order. Mm-hmm. Find you a woman. Find you something real. Somebody that you know you can evolve with and grow with. You know what I'm saying? Because everything AI, lab grown, damn filtered, edited. I don't even know what if we having a real moment right now. But when you find your God, you find yourself. And you find your woman in that order, your spirit will then guide you and give you the confirmation and all the spiritual things. You know.
I love that. With the podcast being called Self Care and Chill, because you left us with so many gems today. If it's one thing that you could leave, and this, you know, this episode, I wanted to, even though you spoke to the black women, like it is a lot of black men that's tapped in. If you could leave them with one piece of advice when it comes to loving yourself, what would be the advice that you left them with?
You know, we've been encouraged to be passionate about our life as men, passionate about sports. That's why a lot of us love sports, because we can put our passion as an emotion, right? So it ain't that we've not had emotions, that they've been displaced. But we've been passionate a whole lot. Sports, you know, this, is that. In the hood, it's passion there. You know what I mean?
Misplaced.
Yeah. So we have to replace our passion. But in order to do that, we have to practice dispassion. So I encourage us at times to step back from everything. Fast, take, retain, step back from everything. For a period, you hear me? Step back, practice dispassion, lay it all out. Come back to it organically. Cause we've been forced with it. Our world has been shaped around these things. So you don't even know what you really like. You know, as men, we live in out of suitcases that somebody else packed for. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So you haven't even unpacked. You never unpacked.
Right.
You know what I mean? You never practiced dispassion. So step back from all of it. Stop. Don't meet a goal. Don't meet nothing. Don't meet anything. And then slowly let yourself come to the things and let them draw to you as you draw to them. And then put your passion back in it. And I think that that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Retain, control your dick, you know what I'm saying? Control your mind, you know, step back from it all. If the things you can step back to. And I'm not saying go quit your job. They said just don't go to work. I never said that. Right. But work on yourself, right. You know what I'm saying, as well. You know what I mean? Step back from everything and reapproach it and see how your spirit feel.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's what I've done. And all the things, that the fruit that's coming from the tree now is a result of it. So.
I love that. AJ, I want to thank you so much for coming on the podcast with us today.
Glad to be here.
Thank you for coming here and Self Care and Chilling.
Thank you. Glad to be here.